مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Tonight is the 26th night of Rabi'ul Awwal 1444 Hijri. With this relevance, saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam number 26 is presented from the booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam. Perform Fard Hajj as no doubt its reward is more than participating in 20 ghazawat. And sending salat upon me once is equal to this. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Do we also have to hide our sins the way we have been asked to hide our good deeds?
Yes, there are many such good deeds that a person cannot hide. Salah is offered in front of everyone in the masjid. For Hajj, millions of Hajj pilgrims gather in Arafat. So there are many such good deeds which cannot be concealed. And as for sin, it's necessary to conceal it. If someone, ma'azallah, committed a sin, and if the sin was committed openly, and the committer does not feel embarrassed or ashamed of it, then he is known as fearless sinner. He commits sins without any fear. And this very sinning of his is more dangerous. He is also known as an open sinner. Which means that if someone commits a major sin openly, once, or persists upon a minor sin, he performs it a few times, then he becomes an open transgressor, an open sinner. There's a difference between a sinner and an open sinner. An open sinner is more dangerous. So even if one ma'adullah ends up committing a sin, then he'll need to conceal it, as revealing the sin of oneself upon others is also a sin. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question from Amir of Ahl Sunnah is that if you could please mention any wazifa for a childless couple.
The couple should recite Ya Awwalu 41 times every day. Insha'Allahul Kareem. The couple will become parents. Duration 40 days. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Amir of Ahl Sunnah, you have mentioned Pious Act number 4 regarding the excellence of reciting Surah Mulk at night. In this day and age, it is observed that people seem to spend hours and hours in useless gatherings and activities, but they don't give their time to prepare for the hereafter. Can you please mention excellence of reciting Surah Mulk and that how can we get steadfastness on its recitation?
MashaAllah. We should recite Surah Mulk. We should make it our habit. It hardly takes 4 to 5 minutes to recite Surah Mulk. It comprises of 30 verses and 2 rukus. The 29th part of the Quran, the 29th juz of the Quran starts from Surah Mulk. Tabarak al-Ladhi. This is also the name of the juz. The illustrious companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, there is a surah, meaning a chapter in the Quran, comprising of 30 verses, which will keep interceding for its qari, meaning the one who recites it, to the extent that he will be forgiven. And it is Tabarak al-Ladhi biyadihil mulk. Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, there's a chapter in the Quran that will quarrel in relation to its qari, meaning its reciter, to the extent that it will make him enter paradise. And it is the very same Surah Mulk. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates that when a person enters his grave, punishment would come to him from his feet. The feet will say that there's no way for you from my side. Because he used to recite Surah Mulk at night. Then the punishment would approach him from the side of his chest or stomach. And it will then say, there's no way for you from my side. Because he used to recite Surah Mulk in the night. And then the punishment will come from his head, and the head will then say, there's no space for you from my side, as he used to recite Surah Mulk in the night. This chapter of the Quran saves one from the punishment of grave. In the Torah, its name is Surah Mulk. He who recites it in the night performs a great and a very good action. The Honorable Companion Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma states that one Sahabi radiallahu anhu affixed his camp on a grave, but he was unaware that there was a grave there. And later, it was found out that there is a grave of someone over here who is reciting Surah Mulk. And he completed the entire surah. That Sahabi radiallahu anhu presented himself in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I affixed a camp on a grave. However, I was unaware of the fact that there was a grave over there. Whereas, this grave of such a person over there, who recites the entire Surah Mulk every day. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, this is the one that stops, this is the one that grants salvation, which has kept him safe from the punishment of grave. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, my desire is that the barak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk may be in every believer's heart. In the commentary of Quran called Ruhul Ma'ani, an excellence of Surah Mulk is mentioned, which says that Surah Mulk should be recited after seeing the new moon. Then that very person who recites this very surah upon seeing the new moon of the month will inshallah be saved from hardships for 30 days. Because these are 30 verses and they are sufficient for 30 days. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma reports from the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, no doubt I find a chapter of 30 verses in the Quran. He who recites this chapter at the time of going to sleep, 30 good deeds will be written for him, and his 30 sins will be forgiven, and his 30 ranks will be elevated. Allah Almighty will send one of his angels towards him so that he may spread his wings over him, and so that he guards him from everything until he wakes up. And it, i.e. this chapter, this surah, is the one that quarrels. It will quarrel for the forgiveness of its reciter inside his grave. And it is Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Now as for the surah that would quarrel, one quarrel is that which we normally do. That is different. It means that it would lovingly plead to Allah that this person used to recite me. O Allah Almighty, please forgive this person. Please enter him in paradise. All this I'm trying to explain you in my own words. This is what it means. Same is the case with a miscarriage baby. He would do the same with Allah. Mothers normally get worried when a miscarriage happens. Of course, it's very painful. Suffering a miscarriage is not easy. But its excellence is that it will quarrel for you. It will quarrel for the parents, for them to be admitted into paradise. Then it will be announced that, O the child who suffered a miscarriage, O the one quarreling with your Lord, hold your parents' hands and take them into paradise. There are different narrations with different wordings. There are a lot of excellences for a child that suffers miscarriage. And a child who passes away before becoming a baligh, there are so many excellences for him as well. We should keep a big heart. We should observe patience. We'll be safe from hell due to them. A minor, a non-baligh, child who passes away will become a shield for us from hell. The child will not let the parents go in hell. They'll become a shield. They'll welcome their parents on the door of paradise. So there are countless virtues in it. And if someone does happen to experience death of a young child and experience such a testing time, then the narrations we mentioned, they can make a person incline towards patience. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite Surah Mulk and Alif Lam Mim Tanzeel As-Sajda before going to sleep. The scholarly elite companion Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said to a person that shall I not give you a hadith as a gift with which you become happy? To which he said, yes please. Upon which he radiallahu anhu said, recite this chapter, Tabarakalladhi biyadihil mulk, and teach this surah to your household and your children and your offspring and to your neighbors. Give them its teaching because it provides one with salvation. And on the day of judgment, it will quarrel for its qari, i.e. reciter in the court of Allah, and it will search for its reciter, so that it may make him attain salvation from the punishment of hell. And due to it, its qari, i.e. reciter, will attain salvation from punishment. Subhanallah. This is a beautiful surah. We should all recite it. We have Pious Deeds booklet, comprising of questions and answers, and it's a very small booklet. And this very act of reciting Surah Mulk is Pious Deed number 4 in this very booklet, which the questionnaire also mentioned. So develop a habit of reading this as well. In previous eras, children were made to memorize it, Suratul Mulk. Now, even elders don't know. Neither do they have any interest nor any focus towards learning it. Now, children, they would know of songs, and elders would know the names of film actors, and they would also be fully up to date with all the TV serials and when the new one is coming out. Unfortunate. This is comparatively a short surah, comprising of only 30 verses. It hardly takes 5 to 6 minutes to recite it. Even if you don't know it by heart, we should at least recite it by looking at it. So all the viewers, the attendees, if possible, please make this intention that no matter what, I will recite this surah in the night. Let me clarify one thing over here, that what is meant by night? When does the night actually begin? So once the sun has set, the time of Maghrib Salah has started, and so has the night started upon the setting of the sun. And at the break of dawn, when the time of Suhoor ends, at that very time, night also ends. It's not difficult. You may recite it after Maghrib if you want. Or you may recite it before Isha or after Isha. You have all night to recite it, which at times is over 12 hours. And if you cannot even take out only 5 minutes in the whole night, then what can we say? You see how many excellences there are. Listening to these excellences and virtues, those who have love for paradise, they would become eagerly passionate, saying to themselves that we have to recite it. But Satan will not let you recite it. Let me warn you in advance, he will make you lazy in this. But we have to recite it. For example, we don't have wudu. Even then, reciting without touching is still permissible. Reciting in the state of wudu has additional excellences. So make sure you recite it. Do not leave it. However, if shar'i bath is fard upon someone, then they cannot recite it. Without wudu, you can recite. Remember this. But you cannot touch the Quran if you don't have wudu. Be mindful of this. In this situation, if you know it by heart, you can recite it. There would also be scenery frames of certain surahs. So if there's a frame of surah, one can recite from that. Otherwise, another thing that a person can do in this regard is that he can get an enlarged copy of the same surah of the Quran in a print format. And then the same printed copy can then be plastic coated, which a person can then hang on a wall for the ease of his read. It has become very easy nowadays. Pretty much everyone has a phone nowadays. You can take a picture of it, and then you may even read it from the phone then. But make sure to read it. Make efforts. Everyone should make intention that inshallah we will recite it. Allah willing.
As you just mentioned about Surah Mulk, as you said, recitation of this should be done in the night. Now, in Wazaif, the duration from post-midnight to the glimmering of the first ray of the sun is called morning. Now, if someone recites post-midnight, will it be considered reciting in the morning or night?
The night doesn't end then, does it? Half the night is past. So when half the night is past, there's still half the night left. So the time is still there.
Jazakallah.
Wa iyyakum.
We received a text message that does missing four consecutive Juma Salahs result one getting out of the fold of Islam?
There is one narration regarding missing three Jumas, which states that his heart will be sealed. There are warnings for those who deliberately miss it. Jum'ah does not become qada. There is no qada for it. In case Jum'ah has been missed, then one is to offer Zuhr Salah, provided that Jum'ah was fard upon him. Right? Now, if Jum'ah is not fard upon a person, like it's not fard upon a woman, so she'll always offer Zuhr Salah, even on the day of Friday she'll offer Zuhr. So this warning does not apply to her. A traveler is also exempt from the ruling of Jum'ah. So the one upon whom Jum'ah is fard, if he leaves three Jum'ahs consecutively, without any valid Sharia-approved reason, this warning is for him. His heart will be sealed upon. He's a grave sinner and deserving of hellfire. However, he'll not be called a disbeliever. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If shop is very busy, does it become a valid reason to miss Salah with congregation?
No, that's not a valid reason. One should explain the customers and he should stop his business activities and he should make sure that he catches his congregational Salah. Being busy at work is not a valid excuse to leave congregational Salah. This is a test for the person that does he prioritize the wealth or the command of the giver of the wealth. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
In the market, we can find Islamic art wood carved calligraphy and other beautiful designs of Islamic art. Is this work permissible and can we buy and display on our home walls?
The artwork of verses being engraved, this should be done in the state of wudu. And as for the other person, he should make sure that he doesn't touch it without wudu. So the element of respect is one thing, but this practice is permissible. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
It is said, picture speaks louder than words. This picture is also giving some message. Could you please shed some light?
The message delivered in this picture is that the arrow of words is more dangerous than an actual arrow. So the person has said something so severe to the other person that the arrow has pierced through him. There are many proverbs in this relation. One is that wound of tongue is deeper than the wound of sword. Such kind of proverbs can also be found in the book entitled The Etiquette of Conversation. And there is one saying of Mawla Ali Karramallahu Wajhahu Al-Kareem as well, the translation of which is along these lines. A wound that is caused by a dagger, an arrow or a sword can be healed, but the wound of the words is such that never heals up. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
How can one protect himself from overthinking? When I say overthinking, I mean that thinking too much, having unnecessary thoughts. It is observed that overthinking and unnecessary thinking can lead someone towards depression and anxiety. Do you think tawakkul, having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of the beautiful ways for getting oneself protected from overthinking and unnecessary thinking?
Allah knows best in this regard, as sometimes it is also a matter of positive thinking. Like a person remains lost in the remembrance of Medina, or a person keeps thinking about the grave or a bad end, staying occupied in this fear all the time, thinking that what will happen to me. So sometimes this kind of positive and good thinking can also make a person attain success. At times, there are useless thoughts. For example, it is generally observed that, unfortunately, some people do not become happy upon birth of a daughter. The type of thoughts that they have in their minds is like, we've got a daughter now, when she grows up, marrying her off would be very expensive. There will be so many expenses, how are we going to meet them? So in the midst of all this, they forget Allah Almighty. In one way or other, He who gave her birth, He is also the creator of all the means, isn't it? The fate, the destiny will be from Him, from Allah Almighty. We cannot and we should not have this kind of mindset. We don't even have this guarantee either whether we will still be alive by the time she grows up. So at times the unfortunate people do not deem even the blessing of Allah Almighty to be good due to their wrong mindset. Adultery is a blessing of Allah Almighty. The excellences and virtues that are found in hadith traditions regarding girls, regarding daughters, I have not come across the same in relation to boys, i.e. sons. There are beautiful excellences of daughters. Even though a son is also a very big blessing of Allah Almighty, there is no doubt in this. So nonetheless, due to these evil and wrong thoughts, a person often tends to lose his track. So therefore, if a person solely relies upon Allah and keeps true faith in Him, then all these issues will be uprooted, as they say. Have faith in Allah. These words that I've just uttered are very comprehensive. So have faith, have hope in Allah. Have full faith in Allah. Everything will be fine. Inshallah, your overthinking will completely get eradicated and uprooted. Just have faith in Allah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
You've received one question for Amir of Ahl Sunnah. What is an Islamic ruling of offering Salah on a carpet?
Salah is valid on carpet. However, what happens sometimes is that the carpet is very thick and then an underlay is also used under it. So in this case, performing prostration, performing sajda becomes very difficult. That is one issue with a carpet of thick quality, a carpet that is fluffy. One has to make sure that his forehead firmly settles on the ground. Same ruling applies to a mattress but not a spring one. Salah will not be valid on a spring mattress because the forehead will not settle on it, it will keep going down. So, if it is a springless mattress or a carpet of thick quality or any such material which is laid down on the ground, if the forehead can firmly settle on it whilst performing sajda, i.e. press on the forehead to such an extent that the forehead can't go down any further, in this case the salah will be valid. The sajda will be valid, which will lead to the validity of salah. If there's still scope for the forehead to go down if pressed further, then salah will not be valid. You have to press it maximum. Otherwise, you will not attain submissiveness and humility in salah. You will just be dealing with the thickness of the carpet. This is found whenever they have extra money, a lot of money, then they tend to lay such carpets down for salah offering people. I don't know what understanding they have in their minds when they do this. Whereas, those people who understand the rulings of salah, this kind of carpet is a matter of great concern for them. They would prefer to avoid these kind of carpets to offer salah on. We didn't used to lay down carpets over here. Then it became a need during winter time. Then we went through various types and various samples, different carpets, and then passed a very thin and hard carpet in Global Madani Markaz Faizan Madina, upon which the forehead settles instantly. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
One question we've received: that can we bury tabarrukat relics with deceased or not?
Yes, they can be kept. There's no harm in it. One will receive its blessings. Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu an had left a will that I have blessed here of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In addition to that, we also find in narrations that he also had the blessed staff of the Prophet and the blessed gown. So he left a will for all these sacred relics to be placed alongside him, and may he be handed over to Arhamur Rahimeen. Allah Almighty is Arhamur Rahimeen, meaning the most merciful out of those who are merciful. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
How is it to do fireworks on the occasion of wedding?
Whether it is the occasion of wedding or Shab-e Bara'at, the fireworks which normally take place in our society is haram. There are different kind of fireworks. Making them, selling them, etc. are all acts of sin. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Will women also have the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise?
Of course they will. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
What are the excellences of taking sadaqah? Many people ask about this, so please shed some light on this.
Well, I haven't really come across the excellences of receiving sadaqah, yet there are excellences for refraining from it. A person came in the court of the Prophet and asked for something. The Prophet said to him, "Do you have anything?" So he presented a few things that he had here in their hand, in his home. The Prophet ﷺ announced to the Sahaba that, "How much would you buy it for?" Someone said 1 dirham, and he said, "Anyone else?" And another Sahabi said 2 dirham. So the goods were paid for and taken. Now he was told to buy goods for his house for 1 dirham, and with the other dirham, purchase an axe. So the axe was bought, and the Prophet ﷺ placed its handle with his own blessed hands. So he took it away with him, and he was told to come back after 15 days. So as instructed, he came back in the court of the Prophet after 15 days. And by now, he had turned those 2 dirhams into 10 dirhams. So we do find these kind of hadith where the Prophet ﷺ saved a person from taking sadaqah. If receiving and accepting or taking or gathering sadaqah was an act of reward, then why would the Prophet ﷺ encourage him to earn a livelihood? So all those who ask for this from others, in fact those who are professional beggars who do this as a profession, this is their line of field, this is how they earn money, by asking others. Despite them being able to earn, Fatawa Razaviya clearly states that this is haram. And if a person knows about someone that he is a professional beggar, then in this case, it is also haram to give to him. One should stop giving to them so that they can start earning a livelihood in order to survive. And if you keep giving to them, then they'll keep doing it. So taking sadaqah has not been encouraged. If there are any unique circumstances, then of course there are exemptions as well. Let's say if it is a case where a person cannot earn at all and he has no source of income, and now it comes to a point where his life is in danger, then saving one's own life is fard. This is when he's dying out of hunger. If there's haram meat or even carrion, it would be fard upon him to eat in a quantity that is enough for him to stay alive. A death of starvation in this case would be a haram death, but the same does not apply to medicine. As in, drink alcohol and you'll be cured. Let's say the doctor says, "Drink this, otherwise you'll lose your life," and it is fard to save your life. In this case, it will not be allowed. It will not become permissible for us, because the medical science is dependent upon theories and theoretical assumptions, not certainties. There are possibilities for yes and no both. You'll see some doctors even being adamant on it, and some even write outside their clinics that 100% successful treatment. Don't fall prey to them. It's impossible to offer 100% successful treatment. Only the beloved of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam can do this with the bestowal of Allah Almighty. This is, of course, it is from our belief that it will happen once a prophet says it with the mercy of Allah. The claim of 100% successful treatment of doctors is wrong. A person with fever passes away. A disease whose treatment exists becomes a cause of death. You will see malaria patients passing away if treatment exists. So we come to know that the treatment of medical science is not certain. It is theoretical. It is assumption-based. Otherwise, no one would die because there are several diseases for which the doctors have treatment, and there is cure for every disease, except for old age and death. Whatever disease Allah has descended, cure for it was also descended. This is in a hadith. How can this be denied? When doctors say that there is no cure for it now, I would suggest them that they shouldn't use this phrase. Accept your own defeat. Don't say that there is no cure for this disease. Rather, say that we've been unable to explore the treatment for this illness yet. And well-being lies only in being humble in the court of Allah Almighty, and there are blessings in it. So don't call it to be cureless. We normally say things like, "There's no treatment for this." No cure whatsoever. There is cure, but the doctor has not reached to the cure. So anyhow, there are medicines. They at times are very robust, very advanced, and very powerful treatment for an illness. But still the patient passes away. He doesn't recover. So the cure is given by Allah, not the medicine or the doctor. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakara. Madani muzakara. Madani muzakara.